We're reading this morning, we're going to be looking at Ephesians. It's the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. If you've got a Bible, if you've got your phone, you can swipe to Ephesians 6. I think it's going to be on the screen. Excellent. Says this. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that wherever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." Let's pray together as we look at this passage. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your good news. Thank you that we can come to you because you have first loved us. And Lord, we come to you this morning to learn, to listen, and as Stuart said, to experience more of who you are. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Thank you that we can come together in this place to celebrate and delight in the good news of who you are. Lord, be with us as we look at this passage together, as we share together, as we think through what you're saying to us this morning. Bless us and give us listening ears. Lord, I pray that you would give me the strength and boldness to share your word as well. Be with us in your name. Amen. Amen. This is one of my favorite passages of all time. I find it a very moving passage. It reminds me of this goodness, the goodness that we have in Christ. His great rule, his great power, the authority that we have, that he has in our lives. Through our faith, we have been equipped for this journey as disciples of Jesus. The armor of God is this reminder. It's a reminder that God never leaves us, but he seeks to prepare us for this journey that we are on with him. The walk of a Christian is quite difficult. It's a constant battle. It's not the life. The life of a Christian isn't like a playground. It's like a battleground. It can be quite difficult at times because there's the balance. There's the powers of good and there's the powers of evil. It's not an easy journey at times to be a Christian. I remember one minister who I spoke to, and he said that he sometimes feels like he can present the gospel like it's just this easy kind of journey that we're on. He said when he was younger, he came to faith. He had quite a turbulent life, but he came to faith. He was told to take a Bible. Here's your manual. This is what you need to do to live. As long as you pray every day, you come to church on a Sunday, then you're sorted. No problems. Life will be grand. No worries at all. And he went to church. And he went, and for the first time, he went with his baggy jeans and his hoodie, and he saw everyone in their Sunday best, and everybody acted like life was great all the time, nice and perfect. And he was sitting in the congregation, thinking, "I'm struggling so much," and yet everyone else seems like they're perfectly fine. But the reality is that they would also be struggling. Because there's a spiritual battle that we're on. Everybody experiences that in our walk as Christians. And sometimes it worries me when I think about how we present the gospel to others. And you typically you hear we need to repent of our sins, we need to come and know Christ. And we can sometimes pretend like that after that then everything will be fine. And of course, yes, there's so much joy to knowing Christ. The victory on the cross has such an impact in our life. We are saved by the grace of God through his victory. And there's so much joy in that, of course. But we can't be deceived that life will sometimes be difficult after that as well. This is a battle, a spiritual battle. The life of a follower, a disciple, is one that's difficult. I even know myself, when I became a Christian when I was 14, and I felt that encounter with the Holy Spirit. But I actually thought, well, life would just be a bit easier after that. But it wasn't. And in reality, that wasn't true. And I'm always mindful of that when we share the gospel, when we share the good news with others, not to be deceived of just how difficult this battle can be at times in our life. Verses 11 and 12 in our passage, they tell us that the world and our flesh and the enemy are working against us in our fight as Christians. The world is the things that are around us, things that perhaps are against how Christ would want us to live, things that might cause us to stumble and fall in our faith. Perhaps these are things that tempt us, and we all have different temptations in this room. Maybe situations around us, the reality of our turbulent lives, can often cause us to sin, to fall short of our desire to follow Christ. And then there's the flesh, the old nature, how we were before we came to know Christ, our own sinful desires, our self-desires, things that might cause us to become spiritually dead. The flesh, we're tainted by the fall, and whereby our own understanding of, at times, our own selfishness, sometimes by the way that we live, our own flesh can cause us to sin as well. It can cause us sometimes to go backwards in our faith. It can create even more problems in our chaotic lives. But at the same time, we can't ignore our humanness, because we are human. I hope we're human. We can't ignore our humanness, our flesh. And again, I remember that important point that we can struggle. As humans, we struggle. We are in this battle, and it's okay to struggle. And actually, we're all feeling the same as we do that. And then there's the devil and his schemes, the evil powers at be. Through the entire Bible, since the beginning of creation, God has shown us the powers of evil that are in the Bible. Often in Scripture, we hear about the enemy, so we can't be caught off guard of who he is. And the enemy takes different names, he takes different forms in the Bible. The devil, it means accuser. He accuses God's people of their sinfulness and brokenness. We use the word Satan, that means adversary, because he is against God, and he's against anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord. He is the adversary of God, and so he is ours as well. The enemy is also called the tempter, and we see in the story of Jesus in the wilderness, when he's tempted, he's tempted by the enemy. We see in John 8:44, the enemy is a liar. And we also see the enemy likened to being like a lion and a serpent in Genesis. So here is why we have this battle. We have a battle between the goodness of God in our lives and the reality of sin and the powers of the enemy. The powers of evil have evil schemes. It says in verse 11 that there's evil schemes against us, which isn't too cheerful to hear, is it? The battle between good and evil, it's constant. The enemy, sin is not part-time. It doesn't go on holiday 4 to 6 weeks out of the year. It's a constant battle. The life of a Christian is a constant battle. And the enemy can use our weak spots, use our vulnerabilities, cause us to fall away from God. And this is a battle which is for us all, that we're all in together. I like how Paul says in verse 12, for it is our struggle, because it is our struggle. Paul includes that in himself. We see that in his ministry, how he often struggled, fought with his own battles. And just the same, we can face that. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter if you're Paul or anyone else. We have a fight against the evil forces that be. We don't want to share a false gospel, pretending like the life of a follower is easy. We have this battle of good and evil. We have the battle of our own flesh and the world as well. But on this journey, we are rooted in Jesus. And just as we sang in one of the songs, that Jesus' power is, the enemy's power is not anywhere near equal to the power that we have in Christ. The one who died and rose again, so that our weaknesses, our vulnerabilities, they don't have any weakness over us when we come to know Christ. Our eyes are fixed on God, who has brought salvation to our very soul, our heart, and is the one who with loving arms embraces us. He seeks us. And when we seek him, we can fight against the reality of the world around us. And we also know this, that the enemy is created. He's a created being, one who is not eternal, but we believe in a God who is eternal. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and the enemy isn't. Yes, he's strong and he's subtle and he's wise like a snake, but compared to the power of God, the schemes of the devil aren't even close. So we trust in God's strength, we trust in his power, his guidance. And in this power, we're moved and we're loved and we're challenged to move forward in our fight against the enemy. The life of a Christian as well isn't just to cross our arms and just sit and not do anything. As Paul says, it's our wrestle. We're wrestle. It is our struggle and our determination to follow Christ, who is greater than anything else. And God equips us as well. He gives us everything we might need. He equips us. Not only that, but he gives us each other to support one another. We can't fight this battle in isolation. We can't fight it alone. But this is what the church is for. It's this place of encouragement where we share together, where we remind each other of the joy that we receive in Christ. We help each other in those struggles. And we share the joy that we have in our lives. The church is this wonderful community. It's a place where we worship the living God. And people are so ready. They need to be ready to support each other against the schemes of the devil. I've been so encouraged this morning, even as I've come, just at the welcome, the sense of worship. God is moving in this place. So be encouraged by that. You're doing a good job. We're vulnerable. We're vulnerable people, imperfect, but we've been made perfect by the grace of Jesus, who brings victory. The enemy will try and convince us that that's not true. But as a church, we're here to encourage each other. We're here to share the truth that Christ's name is greater than any other name. And then we have the armor. We've been equipped by God for our fight ahead. And Paul loves his soldier analogies, don't he? He often compares the life of a Christian to being like a soldier. So we have our armor. He's the equipping of God to grow in him and to fight against the enemy, which we do by faith. And I love the way that he starts by the belt of truth, which holds all the armor together. And it's a really good start. I wonder if you've ever had a belt situation happen to you in the past, when your belt breaks and it holds everything together and then it just falls apart. There was one time before I was preaching at Colladine, and everything was well. I went to the bathroom a couple of minutes before the service, and my belt buckle just goes pinging off, and my trousers were falling down, which wasn't ideal for preaching. So a friend of mine, he was in, I asked if I could swap belts with him. So we're standing in a room upstairs, just kind of subtly, I'm taking my belt off, he's got his belt as well. And then our Sunday school coordinator comes in and she's thinking, what on earth is going on? And kind of awkwardly walks out the room again. The belt was holding everything together in that case. And I'm very glad I got to borrow someone else's and had a lot of explaining to do as well after that. But the belt, it represents truth. I love that, that truth holds everything together. This is the truth of who God is in our lives. That holds everything. It holds everything else in place. This is the truth of our faith, the truth of how we live our lives out as disciples. We must remember truth, because when a lie gets into our head, everything else begins to fall apart. The truth holds everything together. And that is the truth of who Christ is and his power. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness, the armor, and that covers most of the body, the neck, all the way down to your waist, front and back. A large part of armor. I've never worn armor to church, so I don't have a story for that one, unfortunately. But the armor, it protects the body, it covers the body. And that represents righteousness. That's to live justly. It's to live as we should. We live in righteousness in Christ. And though sin can tempt us, and though in our love of sin, that can tempt us as well. It can tempt us away from the ways that aren't pleasing to God. But we're equipped to go out. We're equipped to live in a righteous way. And I'm sure we could think of several examples at the moment of unrighteous living and how that affects people, even Christians who do not live righteously, and how that love of sin and how the lies of sin can tempt them into doing things that they know they shouldn't. Day by day, each day that we live, we need to live with integrity. We need to live in the right way that God has asked us. The enemy will accuse us. He'll try and lead us into ways that we know we shouldn't live. Sometimes we fall, we fail in that. But the truth of Christ and his righteousness reminds us that we are assured. We're assured by his love to be challenged and to be motivated, to be provoked to live this way of righteousness. Then we have the shoes that fit on our feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And this gospel of peace is the redemptive story of Jesus, the mission that God is on to reconcile us to himself. And if we're going to stand up against the schemes of the devil, we need to always remind ourselves of just how important the cross, that impact of the cross, the significance of it has in our lives. So this is the gospel of peace. It fills us with peace, knowing the power of the cross. It's through this gospel we've received that. And I like how we have to have the readiness of the gospel as well. I wonder if you've got children and you've ever tried to leave the house and you're trying to get them to put their shoes on and they're not putting their shoes on and you're trying to go out somewhere and you're late. I don't have children, but I'm always late to things. So I just get up and I put my shoes on so I'm ready. Readiness to go out because I'm already late. And if I have to take ages to put my shoes on as well, then it's going to take even longer. So I like how it's the shoes that he says. It is the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I think about how we are to be prepared. We need to be ready to remind ourselves of the gospel of truth and to share that with others. Imagine wherever we went, we were ready. We had that readiness to go and share the gospel with others, to share the good news with others, to share our faith unashamedly with people in an honest and true way. This morning we gather here because someone was awkward enough to tell us about who Jesus is sometime or another. I wonder, maybe a couple of people could shout out, who was the first person that ever told you who Jesus is? If there was one person that always reminded you Who would that be? You can shout out at me.
Mom.
Your mum. Excellent. And dad.
Grandmother.
Grandmother. Family. Friends. Anyone's friends. Your mum. Brilliant. And mum's got a... Brilliant. Brilliant. Any friends? Anyone's friends? Family. Excellent. Well, the first time that I ever went to church was because of my gran. And she's gone to Glenrothes Baptist for about 40-odd years now. She's gone to church for a long time. And she would persevere in the faith so much with me when we first went to church. Me and my older brother would first go, my wee sister. But we hated church. It was so boring and not exciting. I was only about 6 or 7. But the deal was that if we went to church, then Gran would make sandwiches. And to this day, she still makes me sandwiches on a Sunday. But that was our reason for going to church. And we'd get our 50p for the offering at the end of for Sunday school. And I would accidentally forget to put it in the cup. And then we'd go to McCall's, and then I'd magically find it again. And I'd get my sweets. But she required a lot of perseverance. She was, I can't imagine what she thought when the two of us were just kind of pocketing our 50p and going to the shop. What on earth was she doing taking us to church? But she persevered in that. And through that witness that she was to me, that was where my journey of faith began. That is where I first got to hear who Christ was. It's amazing, these stories of how we've awkwardly ended up coming to church one way or another. Let's have that boldness, that readiness to be able to share that. It's not easy at times, and it can be a bit scary, a bit awkward. You know, especially in the workplace, at school, it's always a difficult place to share your faith. But let's have that readiness. Let's have the shoes of the gospel of peace on us. And then we have the big shield. We have the big shield of faith. As a soldier in battle, they would hold up the huge shields to protect themselves from spears and swords. And Paul says fiery arrows, which as well. I wonder if you've ever seen a movie of the Romans or the Chronicles of Narnia. That's the first place that I saw it. And when all the soldiers have their large shields and they come together, and it makes this big defensive wall. It's completely solid, and it's even better because they're together. And again, we're reminded that we're not alone in this battle. We have each other. When we come together, there's something even stronger. There's something powerful about the way that we're able to come together. The church not only is a place of support, but is a place of power when we pray. This is the shield of faith. And faith, it has such a deep meaning. We're able to have faith in God, whose Spirit fills us each day. It's a faith in the promise of God who is present with us here and now. We have faith in that saving power of the cross. Faith in God is who is greater. He is greater than anything that sin or death or the enemy can throw at us. When we hold up our shield of faith, it's so wide and deep, it defends us. It defends us from the attacks that the enemy has. And the enemy might try and cause us to doubt ourselves, to doubt God, to listen to lies, to listen to bad thoughts. It can cause us to question who God is. But when we walk through faith, we walk through faith with a God who loves us, who the truth tells us, promises to keep his promises. And he seeks to transform our lives, to be on this journey with us. And this is a journey filled with love and his character, his Spirit and power. Then there's the helmet of salvation, the helmet which protects our heads and our minds. Our minds are important for this battle as well. Knowledge is important for our faith. It is to know the truth and to remember the truth. through our knowledge, we're able to reflect and experience and learn from God and how significant He is. And God equips us. He equips us with this knowledge. He reveals Himself to us. He reveals His salvation and His love to us. So in this constant journey, this clashing of battles, this journey of faith, we need to use our heads, and we need to keep our heads safe to be protected from the enemy. It must protect us from the battle. And we need to remember that knowledge of how great and the significance of salvation is. I wonder if you've ever tried just simply to memorize scripture. That is such a difficult thing to do. Even the knowledge of knowing that scripture in your head. I often think about if my phone stopped working and somebody asked me what the Bible said, what I would do. The importance of memorizing scripture, to knowing it, to feeling it in your heart, to be moved by it. It protects us. To know that knowledge, and not only to know it, but to experience it and feel it, is important. And then we have the sword of the Spirit. I don't have any sword stories, unfortunately. I was going to bring a sword along with me, but I decided against it. We have our armor, but we also have this offensive weapon. We have the weapon of choice given to us by God, which is the sword. And that is the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has great power. A living power, which is a bit like a sword. It can pierce through hearts. It can pierce through our flesh. But unlike a physical sword, unlike a real sword, which is painful, which can cause hurt, it can, of course, kill people, the sword of the Spirit doesn't do that. It heals. It gives life to people. Whilst the physical sword causes hurt and pain, the sword of the Spirit heals and gives life to people. The Spirit cuts deep into the work of the enemy. The Spirit allows us to press on, to stop the enemy in his tracks. This sword of the Spirit cuts deep into the enemy's lives, and it motivates us, it moves us. It helps us to press on, to grow through the strength. There is so much strength inside of us by the power of God's Spirit. And then as Paul finishes his letter, he reminds people that prayer is the energy that sustains us in our fight. God listens and acts in our prayers. And it was even something that Sarah said to me as I came in, as we spoke about prayer, about how powerful prayer is and how much we need prayer. And as you said that, I was really moved by what you said. God equips us. He doesn't leave us alone either, because we can come to God in prayer. Prayer has so much power to change things, because we seek God and He answers. Paul tells us to pray in the Spirit no matter what we face. And we pray with all kinds of requests and prayers. And he even says to strive to be in communion with God in all that we do. Imagine if we did that. Imagine if we could actually do that, be in communion with God in all that we do. Pray to Him with everything that goes on, and seek Him in everything we do. Paul says himself to pray for each other as well. He asks for prayer as he's in jail, sharing the gospel with others. And he says this because he knows what prayer does. He's seen it in his ministry, the power that prayer does. He knows that it changes situations and it helps him in his fight. And he says this in his letter because he knows that it will change things and sustain people in their prayers as well. Wherever you are in your walk this morning with God, your journey as a disciple, always, always, always remember to pray. It's a nice and simple thing we often say, but how easy is it to forget? to pray. And as we pray, we seek God. We seek God in our wrestling. We pray for the Spirit that it might empower us, that it might move in our lives. The goodness of God is so astounding, so amazing. Amen. Amen. And we're in this fight, but we're in this together. And it's God who sustains us through all of that. And when we have our armor of God on, the enemy, the enemy's powers are weak. But then God, when we do fall, because we're human, God will always sustain us. God challenges us, loves us, forgives us, motivates us to grow in Him and to follow Him. What a journey that is. Not an easy journey, but what a journey filled with joy and love. Can I pray for you this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you move us by your Spirit. Thank you that you long to see transformation and change in our lives. Lord, forgive us in our sinful ways, for our love for sin, for the ways that we perhaps are tempted. And Lord, we know that the enemy is wise, strong. But Lord, we know that your love is greater than anything else. That your love is greater than anything that the enemy can throw at us. Lord, I pray for those this morning who are feeling weak, who maybe feel like they've been under constant attack. Lord, who feel doubt, who are struggling. I pray that your Spirit would move in them this morning. Lord, help us as we share the gospel with others. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the community here. Thank you for the ways that they meet faithfully. They look to serve this community. Lord, we pray for people that we meet. Would you give us strength and readiness to awkwardly share who you are with them? Lord, help us not to feel doubt when we do that, but have that mindfulness, that knowledge that you are in control and of how great you are and how others just need to know this. Bless us as we go in our whatever we do. Would we come to know you more, come to seek you more? Holy Spirit, would you move within us, move within this community, move within each one of us. Would we come to know you more? We pray against the enemy. We pray against the reality of spiritual attack, of evil in the world. We pray for hope. We pray for hope over our nation, over the people we know, over this world that's broken. Bless us as we go. In your name. Amen.